Welcome to Recovery Rocks, where we talk about all things recovery and music. I'm Tawny.
And I'm Lisa, and we're really glad you're here.
Hey everyone, it's Tawny and...
Lisa!
My favorite sober gal.
Oh, right back at you.
Okay, so this week, we are going to talk about something that has many names, I think. Commonly known as destination addiction.
Yes.
The concept of I will be happy when, you know, once I get the promotion, once I've traveled to this country, once I'm engaged, once I'm, you know, attaching, like hitching our happiness to this possible idealized moment in life
and everything. Like some sort of outcome.
Yeah, exactly. Which is like, as we know in recovery, living life on life's terms, that is setting yourself up for failure from the very beginning.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So I've written about this a couple times actually. And we've linked this article in the show notes. This was for Recovery Campus, which is God, I wish that we had Recovery Campus when I was in college. It is a magazine for college students in recovery. And I've written a couple pieces for them. And I'm just so glad that this exists. So if you are a college student or professor and you don't have Recovery Campus at your school, see what you can do to get it there. Like I'm not getting paid to say this. I'm saying yeah. this is just a really phenomenal resource. This magazine is phenomenal.
And I hadn't seen it until you showed me this.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I think it's always great to, you know, get sober or enter your recovery journey. But I think now is a really exciting time because there's just an influx of all of these resources for folks at different intersections, you know, for the sake of this conversation, for mm-hmm. college students. So, you know, for Lisa knows, I have like what I call an addiction to personal development, to getting better, to, you know, to we can start with the music minute, like the song "I Want to Get Better" by Bleachers. Really rings true for me of like, I want to get better. Like Bleachers is one of my favorite bands.
Okay.
And it's like,
I have to listen to that. Yeah.
It's great. They're from Jersey. They're
what?
Yeah. They're one of my favorite bands. I've seen them many, many times.
I am old. Okay.
You're seasoned.
I am well seasoned. That's true. Deeply seasoned.
You're seasoned.
Heavily seasoned.
you know, there was a point in my life where I was very obsessed with setting goals, which can be a good thing, which, you know, like Lisa and I will say, if you like, we can get addicted to anything. Give us something and we will find a way to abuse it. That was me with, like vision boards and writing out goals and a 5-year plan. And I was really setting myself up to fail because I would be like, you know, I would set a goal, like get published in Rolling Stone magazine by June of 2015. And it's like, I can't control that. Like there's like, it's really wonderful to have, you know, to write out your goals. That's a really healthy thing to do, but I hitched my happiness to it. And if, you know, June 2015 came around and I still wasn't published in Rolling Stone, then that gave myself license to really beat myself up, which was not kind at all. And that's, you know, something that is a behavior that I brought into my recovery too. I read a lot of self-help books and I was taking vigorously taking notes of like, I'll really be optimized once I can do this, or once I can do this, then I'll really be happy, or I'll have a healthy relationship. Like, and all of this is to say that I think living in the headspace of this idealized version of myself was a little delusional and I was unable to be present because I was so fixated on the future and what I think the future should look like. And I know this is kind of a weird topic because when I tell people that like I have an addiction to self-help, especially as like a self-help author, like I write self-help pieces, you know? So yeah, Lisa, what comes up for you?
Well, I just think that's funny because you talk about it as like an addiction to self-help, but it's almost like an addiction to like some, an ideal that doesn't exist, right? That's not yeah. reality. And not like perfectionism. I'm not saying perfectionism because for me, perfectionism is, you know, very, can be very minute to like, you know, not, I'm obsessed with crossword puzzles. I do a ton of crossword puzzles mm-hmm. and like the way I do them, I have a ritual to it. And if I don't do it a certain way, like if I can't finish it in a certain way, I feel like that's kind of a failure. So like that to me is my like sort of perfectionism BS, but like, this is more like feeling like there is some, like, it kind of reminds me of that saying, like whoever, you know, dies with the most toys wins.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, so as opposed to being, you know, going back to like that idea of what, you know, John Lennon said, and I'm going to get this quote wrong, but life is what happens when you're busy doing other things.
Yes, 100%. You know?
So that, and I know that, and I have to say for that, that is one of the biggest, I think I was spared a lot of that in recovery only because of 12-step. Like in 12-step, it was, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't yeah. worry about, you know, get your head to the pillow tonight, wake up, you know, two sober feet on the ground, take a decision that you're not going to drink today and do what you need to do that. And then, you know, like I remember hearing very early on, and there's, you know, this something in 12-step, in step 9 called the promises of the things that, you know, will happen if we stay sober. And the idea of like, that there's going to be, you know, some sort of big reward at the end of the day. But what happens is we don't even know, and we've talked about this before too, like we don't even know where we're going to end up. So to even like set that idealized version no. of like, oh, I want to be this, I want this job, or I want that thing. It's like, by the time you get there, you may want something totally different. You know, like the journey yes. really is a lot of it. So it's, you know, a lot of these things that we set for ourselves is like, I will be happy when I am, you know, the chief of whatever at work, or when I have run a marathon, or when I have, you know, done whatever, that along the way, and it's good to have goals and it's good to shoot for things, but like along the way, being, having sort of the grace with ourselves to say, oh, wow, maybe now that I'm on this road and I'm up to mile 3, and I think I might want to go on this other road, and that's okay too.
That is okay. You know?
Giving ourselves the flexibility to pursue what it is that comes up as we just, you know, learn what it's like to be sober and see what it is. I feel like I hate to put it in terms of like being like a kid, but I almost like had a, you know, grow up again and think about,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Think about like, wait, what do I want? And, you know, and I not look at other people and go, oh, I bet her life is perfect. I want what she has. You know, the only thing where it was like, I want what she has is when I had to look for a sponsor in 12-step, because they say, you know, look for somebody who, you know, has the kind of sobriety you would want to have. But other than that,
yeah,
you know, it was, if I had mapped out when I got sober what I wanted to do, or what would be like, I'll be happy when I get X, I wouldn't have mapped out what my life is today. Yet I'm, you know, knock on wood, I'm so happy with my life today. Yet it yeah. wouldn't have been what I planned if I had been thinking about it.
That quote, like that, the life happens when you're busy making other plans or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it. Like I said, I was living in a future version of myself, a future version of my life. And which pulled me out of the moment, which pulled me out of enjoying today. And it's to the point of like, I can't even read self-help books anymore. If someone will send me a link to it, like a self-help podcast, I can't, because, and I know like our podcast is technically considered self-help, but I'm talking about the Tony Robbins, the Gabby Bernsteins, talking about like how to optimize your life to live the best version of yourself. I'm talking about that kind of self-help.
Yeah.
Which like, if you like those people, amazing. Like I'm not knocking them as people. I'm saying I don't know how to read books like that.
Right.
In a healthy way.
Yeah.
So, that's something that, you know, that I struggle with, but I'm getting better at setting realistic goals of like, you know, have a book published by X date. I have no control over that.
Right.
But what I do have control over is, you know, I can pitch 2 editors a week. I can finish my book proposal by X date because I can do that.
Right.
So, you know, really breaking it down really helps.
Yeah. And putting it into pieces where like focusing on what you can control and then going, I've done everything I can and I'm going to let go of what happens next because I can't control that. You know,
exactly.
Yeah. And allowing ourselves to say, hey, I reached out like for you, like I reached out to 2 editors this week. I did what I needed to do. And that's good enough. It's not like, oh, I should have done 3 more or what was this other person doing or any of that stuff. And I know like I used to, you know, one of the things we've talked about a lot on the podcast is food. And I've had a lot of issues with eating and I struggle with food. And, you know, I always thought like from the time I was like in high school or even younger, when I really think about it, like my life would be so good if I was just thin. My life would be so good if I just weighed 20 pounds less or whatever. Like everything would be great if I just wasn't this heavy. And, you know, it's not like attaining that kind of goal is not something that brings happiness or is not.
No.
And, you know, and I think with social media, when we talk about it, like it's, you know, obviously we're getting such distorted views of other people's lives, but you know, the fact is like, we know, you know, whatever it is that we think is going to be the magic elixir, somebody else has it and they're miserable and it's not, you know, there is no magic elixir and that we lose all that time that we could have been present in doing other things.
Yes. No, that's such a good point. That reminds me of some good advice I got shortly after moving to New York. You know, before I moved to New York to pursue writing, I was a fitness instructor. I taught Zumba for 5 years and I was obsessed. It was my whole life and I loved it. And I was obviously in excellent shape because I was teaching like 5 high impact cardio classes a week. So when I moved to New York to pursue writing, I wasn't working out as much. I was still working out, but you know, it was nowhere near what it was when it was my job to work out.
Right.
So I struggled with that. I was less defined. I was putting on, you know, a little bit of weight. But on the upside, I was getting articles published and I was writing, you know?
right.
And I remember talking to one of my friends about this and she was like, Tawny, you can have rock hard abs or you can be a really good writer. It's like very few people can have both. And like that advice sticks with me today because, you know, I exercise regularly, but, my body doesn't look the way that I think it should. And as a feminist, I hate to say that, but that's just the truth of how I feel. But my writing career
is... I think your body's perfect.
Well, and I think your body is perfect, but I also think, well, I would, like you said, if I was thin, I would be really happy. I still have that of like, well, if I was more toned, if my stomach was flat, right, then I would be really happy. But that's not true.
I would fixate
on something else, but like my stomach isn't flat, but who cares? Because like I'm killing it in my writing career and I'm really happy about that work.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's a matter of prioritizing, you know,
it is
like, yeah, what do you want to be doing? Do you want to be like, okay, I'm going to be like J-Lo. And so I'm going to be in the gym all the time. Or do you want to advance your writing career?
Yeah. It's like, it's not my job to be hot. Like I am not being
right.
Paid.
It's J-Lo's job to be hot.
It's J-Lo's job. And she has a team of hundreds of people that right. get her that way.
That's right.
And that's not my job to be hot, you know? And if it is my job to write, it is my job to podcast. It yep. is my job. You know, I have other jobs and obligations, but I'm in the headspace of where now I work out because it makes me feel good.
Yeah,
I genuinely enjoy going to the gym and working out with my trainer. I enjoy yoga. I enjoy going on a run every once in a while. Like those are things that I do, for fun. Like I'm like, you know what? I need to get out of the house. I'm going to go for a run and I'll listen to a podcast or something. And like, that's my me time. And I'm trying to just enjoy that for what it is, instead of attaching this idealized version well, you run 3 times a week, so your stomach should be flatter than this.
Yeah.
Says who?
Says who?
Like, who said that?
Says the inner critic in my head.
Exactly. And yeah, it's something that I think I'll always, I hope I don't always struggle with it, but it's something that I'm very cognizant of for sure.
Well, when you're cognizant of it, and then you can take a minute and be like, why am I obsessing about this? And it goes back to like, we talk about this all the time, like, where are your feet? Right?
Yes.
Where are your feet? Your feet are in your apartment in New York. You're safe. There's food in the fridge. The lights are on, you know, and you've got a ton going on in your life. And that this is, if you don't, you know, sort of appreciate this moment and where you are and what you're doing, you're never going to appreciate it.
No, it's not. And I think I recently had a moment of growth because the old me was always doing like cleanses and like all crazy diets. And I'm in the space now of like my partner and I are cooking, like we're cooking healthy foods. We're exercising several times a week and like, and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I'm not weighing myself. And when I recently met with my trainer, like before I hired her, I met with her and I was like, I want a trainer. I want accountability and I want to get out of the house to exercise.
Right.
So she was telling me about the different packages they have. And there was one that has a nutrition component to it. And I was attracted to it. I was like, I was like, hell yeah, let's do that. But then she started telling me more about it. And I realized, I was like, you know what? That is a little too extreme for me. And I know that I won't be in a good headspace if I participate in that. I want to keep it to just fitness and having fun working out. She was like, great, let's do that. And the old me would not have done that.
What I was just going to say, that is like, what a gift of sobriety, man.
Yeah.
That you were able to say, what would the old you have done?
The old me would have been like, hell yeah, sign me up. Then like, I would have followed the diet explicitly and I can't log calories. I can't like,
yeah.
That is not a good, that is not, I know how to do all of that and it doesn't look pretty. It is it is not going to put me in the healthy headspace that I need to be to live today in a present happy space.
Right.
And I know that, you know, like to get off the some of the quarantine weight that I put on, I'm not going to do a crash cleanse and lose it in a month. Like that's not going to work. I've decided to do it the right way and go to a gym. And it's probably going to take me 6 months at least to lose weight the right way. And that's new for me.
Yeah. And you can have a happy 6 months living that way, as opposed to like being miserable for however long you were going to do the cleanse or get obsessive. And then we run the risk of crossing a line into just totally, you know, overdoing it and ending up with an even worse issue than we did before. I totally get that. And it is a mark of growth to be able to say, no, I don't want the quick fix, right? Because I want something that's going to let me live each day and be happy with it. And what's the difference?
No, zero. That reminds me of that gif you and I send each other with Kelly from Insecure, where she's like, you know what that is? Growth.
Yeah.
You know, like that. I use that gif all the time because like that is, it's like, it is, you know, talking about personal development and self-help. Like those are the healthy moments of personal growth that I celebrate now, as opposed to these abstract ideas of things that I think I should be doing.
Right.
And it's, you know, again, I'm a big fan of like writing down your goals and accomplishing a bunch of great shit. Like do it. Like, you know, I can actually do vision boards now. Like my partner and I will do vision boards together. And it's just a fun thing that we do. On New Year's Eve, we cut up magazines, we drink our non-alcoholic champagne, and we just cut out pictures of things that make us happy today.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily what we need the next year to look like, but things that make us happy today. And I think that's that's a healthier approach to, you know, not knocking manifestation or anything like that, but I just, that puts me in a bad headspace.
Right. And recognizing that and being like, that's not for me. I'm going to take a pass and do something different is huge.
So, yeah. And then like inviting another person in on the vision board made it more of like a fun date activity as opposed to,
I've never done a vision board.
This is what Tawny should do.
Yeah.
For the Music Minute. I know we kind of started with the Music Minute, but I want to get better by Bleachers. That's one of my favorite songs. Cause it's like, it's grown with me and it's changed meaning over time, where it used to mean like, do a bunch of shit, cross it off your bucket list, get better as a human. And now it's like we're talking about that gift from Insecure of like that, just, you know, these little moments of growth I'm celebrating that.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I love that. And since we were talking about, I looked up the John Lennon quote, is life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans.
Yep.
So perfect. It's true. Like to you, I forgot about that also, that to you aspect of like, you're not controlling it because you're busy making other plans. So life is still going to happen. Stuff's going to happen to you. You're just not making the call there. So I like that. And so I figured, I started thinking then about the Beatles, and I started thinking about my favorite Beatles song, which is While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Mm. And then I started thinking about Prince performing that song at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction 1 year. If you haven't seen that, that's on YouTube. Prince does the most unbelievable guitar work on that song, on that clip. And, so Miss Prince.
R.I.P.
Yeah. R.I.P.
We should get Prince tattoos. Would you get a Prince tattoo with me?
I'm not a tattoo person. I've made it 55 years without one. I'm going to keep it that way.
All right. Well, if you change your mind, hit me up.
I'll hit you up. And we'll go to Jess.
Yes, we will go to Jess, our friend from Seltzer Squad, who's a tattoo artist. In Brooklyn.
You have a tattoo credit from her for me.
I do. I'm seeing her in a couple weeks to get my tattoo credit to cash it in. And she did my butterfly tattoo. She's amazing.
She's amazing.
So. Yeah. Shout out to Jess and our buddies
and our Seltzer Squad friends.
Yes. So yeah, this, so I'm going to end it on like an affirmation that's just as much for me as it is for the listeners. You are enough.
Okay, have a good Stuart week. Smalley, have a good one.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. And you can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.